Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Golder, and today we're Zecher Shavuos Daf Yud Zayin, the second parak Yedias Atuma. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, several questions were asked about the requirement of Shehiya, delaying for a Tuma violation. Rava asked, Sarach Shehiya Lamalkas, is delaying, meaning enough time to bow, required to become liable to Malkas for intentionally staying in the Mikdash after becoming tummy there, or not? A carbon gemir shehiya? Did the sages receive the tradition about delaying only regarding the carbon for unintentional delaying, but not for malchus? Or perhaps bifnim gemir shehiya? They received a tradition about delaying for any tumah contracted inside, regardless of whether it's for a carbon or a malchus. Rava also asked if shehiya is required for one suspended in the airspace of the mikdash, since he cannot bow there. Ravashi asked, Timei Atzmo b'mezid, if one was metame himself intentionally the Mikdash, is Shehiya required? Was the tradition only for Tuma contracting the Mikdash ba'ones, or even b'mezid? Finally, he asked if Shehiya is required for a Nazir who became Tameh while on a grave to be liable. Was the tradition only received for Tuma bifnim, inside the Mikdash, but not for Tuma contracted b'chutz, outside the Mikdash, regarding a Nazir, or not? All these questions are left unresolved. Point number two, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis taught that one who became Tamei in the Migdash and exited Ba'arucha by a long way is liable for a carbon, but if he exited B'ksara by a short way, he's Pater. Rava says this exemption applies afil ekev b'tzagudal, even for walking heel beside toe, meaning taking very short steps, b'afil kohayom kulo, and even if he walked so slowly that exiting took the entire day. Rava asks, shehios maushi starfu, do multiple short delays combine for the required delay period for bowing? This cannot be resolved from Rava's ruling exempting one who took all day to exit, because that may be where he did not pause at all. Abai asked Rabba, Ba'alu Ba'arucha Shir Katsara, if he exited by a long way in the amount of time normally needed to exit by a short way, meaning he ran, is he chayiv? Is Arucha liable because of the time required, but this person would be exempt? Or was the tradition that Arucha is always liable and Katsara is exempt? Rabbi answered, Nitna Arucha Hidachos Eitzlo, the long way was not given for him to be overridden, and he's liable even if he ran. And point number three, Rabbi Hoshaya said, Be'ina de'ema milsa mistafina mechavraya. I want to say something, but I'm afraid of my colleagues who may disagree. He wanted to say, Haniknas abeis hamanuga derech acharav. One who entered a house stricken with saras, walking backwards, b'afil kulo chutz mechotmo, even if all of him entered except his nose, he is tar, because the pasuk says, v'haba el habayis, one who comes into the house shall be tame, implying, derech bia asra Torah. The Torah only forbade, meaning was matame, someone entering normally, not backwards. He was afraid his colleagues would object that if so, he should be tower even if he completely entered the house. Rabbi answered that if he's entirely inside, Ulgar Mekalim Shababayas, he's no less than utensils which are in the house, which are tame without entering it, because the pasuk implies that Koasher Babayas, everything in the house becomes tame. Rabbi Hoshaya's ruling is supported by a brice which states that a tummy person who entered the heichal through the roof is exempt from karas, because the pasuk says, "Though a mikdash will savo, and he shall not come into the mikdash," teaches derech bia asur Torah. The Torah only forbade entering normally. So once again, the three points are: number one, several questions were asked about the requirement of shehiya, delaying for a tumah violation. Rava asks, Sarach shehiya lamalkas, is delaying, meaning enough time to bow, required to become liable to malkas for intentionally staying in the mikdash after becoming tummy there, or not? A carbon gemir shehiya? Did the sages receive the tradition about delaying only regarding the carbon for unintentional delaying, but not for malkas? Or perhaps bifnim gemir shehiya? They received a tradition about delaying for any tumah contracted inside, regardless of whether it's for a carbon or a malkas. Rava also asked if shehiya is required for one suspended in the airspace of the mikdash, since he cannot bow there. Ravashi asked, Timei Atzmo b'mezid, if one was metame himself intentionally the Mikdash, is Shehiya required? Was the tradition only for Tuma contracting the Mikdash ba'ones, or even b'mezid? Finally, he asked if Shehiya is required for a Nazir who became Tame while on a grave to be liable. Was the tradition only received for Tuma bifnim, inside the Mikdash, but not for Tuma contracted b'chutz, outside the Mikdash, regarding a Nazir, or not? All these questions are left unresolved. Point number two, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis taught that one who became Tameh in the Mikdash and exited Ba'arucha by a long way is liable for a carbon, but if he exited B'ksara by a short way, he's Pater. Rava says this exemption applies afil ekev b'tzagudal, even for walking heel beside toe, meaning taking very short steps, b'afil kohayom kulo, and even if he walked so slowly that exiting took the entire day. Rava asks, shehios maushi starfu, do multiple short delays combine for the required delay period for bowing? This cannot be resolved from Rava's ruling exempting one who took all day to exit, because that may be where he did not pause at all. Abai asked Rabba, Ba'u ba'aruch hashir katsara, if he exited by a long way in the amount of time normally needed to exit by a short way, meaning he ran, is he chayv? Is aruch liable because of the time required, but this person would be exempt? Or was the tradition that aruch is always liable and katsara is exempt? Rabbi answered, "Nitna aruch hidachus etzlo. The long way was not given for him to be overridden, and he's liable even if he ran." And point number three, Rabbi Hoshaya said, "Beina de'ema milsa mistafina mechavraya. I want to say something, but I'm afraid of my colleagues who may disagree." He wanted to say, "Haniknas abeis hamanuga derech acharav. One who entered a house stricken with saras, walking backwards, mafil kulo chutz mechotmo. Even if all of him entered except his nose, he is tahor because the pasuk says v'haba el habayis. One who comes into the house shall be tame, implying derech bia asra Torah. The Torah only forbade, meaning was matame, someone entering normally, not backwards. He was afraid his colleagues would object that if so, he should be tahor even if he completely entered the house." Rabbi answered that if he's entirely inside, Ugar Makalim Shababayas, he's no less than utensils which are in the house, which are tame without entering it, because the pasuk implies that Ko Asher Babayas, everything in the house becomes tame. Rabbi Hoshaya's ruling is supported by a brice which states that a tame person who entered the heichal through the roof is exempt from karis, because the pasuk says, "Though a mikdash will savo, and he shall not come into the mikdash," teaches Derech Bia Asur Torah. The Torah only forbade entering normally. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Yud Zayin. Our standard Siman is a used car or used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman from Don't Delay, Buy Now Motors, demonstrating to his friends how to avoid Malkus when becoming Tame in the Mikdash by immediately leaving the lot, walked slowly down the shorter path and was about to bump into a Tame customer who entered the lot backwards with his nose sticking outside. Once again, slow motion. The used car salesman, that must be on Daf Yud Zion. The used car salesman from Don't Delay, Buy Now Motors, demonstrating to his friends how to avoid Malkus when becoming Tamei in the Mikdash by immediately leaving the lot, which reminds us the Gemara brings many questions about the Shehiyah requirement for Tuma regarding Malkus, airspace, Mazin, and Nazir. So the used car salesman from Don't Delay, Buy Now Motors, demonstrating to his friends how to avoid Malkus when becoming Tame in the Mikdash by immediately leaving the lot, walks slowly down the shorter path, which reminds the Gemara discusses what the din is if one takes the short path to exit, but he does so slowly, or he takes the long path and he takes it quickly. So the used car salesman from Don't Delay, Buy Now Motors, demonstrating to his friends how to avoid Malkus when becoming Tame in the Mikdash by immediately leaving the lot, walked slowly down the shorter path and was about to bump into a Tame customer who entered the lot backwards with his nose sticking outside, which reminds Rabbi Hoshaya said, "I want to say something, but I'm afraid my colleagues who may disagree." He wanted to say, "Haniknas abeis hamanuga derech acharav, one who entered a house stricken with tzaras, walking backwards, even if all of him entered except his nose, he's tahor because the pasuk says, b'haba el habayis, one who comes into the house shall be tame, implying derech bia asur Torah. The Torah only forbade, meaning was matame, someone entering normally, not backwards." So once again, the used car salesman from Don't Delay, Buy Now Motors, demonstrating to his friends how to avoid Malkus when becoming Tame in the Mikdash by immediately leaving the lot, walked slowly down the shorter path and was about to bump into a Tame customer who entered the lot backwards with his nose sticking outside. All right, so now it's time for a four blah back Hazara. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah bacher, that must be around Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah bacher who waited anxiously for his first Yom Kippur to get a kapara on all his averos, even without doing tshuva, which reminds us, Rebbe said, "I'll call aver shabbat Torah for all transgressions in the Torah, ben asa tshuva ben lasa tshuva, whether he repented or did not repent. Yom Kippur imachapi, Yom Kippur atones." He darshans three exceptions from a pasuk, ki divar Hashem baza, because he disgraced the word of Hashem, zeh pork ol. This means one who throws off Hashem's yoke by denying his existence, umagal panim Torah, and one who speaks brazenly about the Torah, that's mitzvah so hefar, and he has violated Hashem's commandment, zeha mefer bris babasar. This means one who violates the covenant of bris mila. So the bar mitzvah bach, who waited anxiously for his first Yom Kippur to get a kapara on all his averos, even without doing tshuva, and ruined it at the last minute by becoming chayiv karis by eating right before sunset, which reminds the Gemara discusses karis for a Yom Kippur transgression, according to Rebbe. Rebbe agrees regarding the karis for transgressions of the day of Yom Kippur itself, that they are not atoned without tshuva. The Gemara explains that this is possible in two ways, where he ate raw meat and it choked him, and he died before Yom Kippur could provide atonement, or where he ate at the last moment of Yom Kippur without enough time to be atoned. So the Bar Mitzvah Bachur waited anxiously for his first Yom Kippur to get a kapara on all his averos, even without doing tshuva, and ruined it at the last minute by becoming chayv karas, by eating right before sunset, looked on jealously at his cousin the Bar Mitzvah Kohen, who got a kapara from vidui on the bar, and not from the Sir HaMishtaleach, which reminds more discussed of the source of the machlokas whether Kohanim are included in the Sir HaMishtaleach's atonement, or whether the vidui over the par atones for the Kohanim for all other averos, and they are not included in the Sir HaMishtaleach's atonement. Daf Yudal, so the Simon Daf Yudal is a Yadahin, and we use a juggler for the Simon. So here goes. When the head juggler, that must be on Daf Yudal, Yad Hand. When the head juggler confessed his sin of dropping some balls, before he confessed the sins of his sons, who juggled and also dropped some balls, which reminds the Kohen Rav Yehuda that Kohanim are also atoned through the Sir HaMishtaleach for their other averos, why is the second confession necessary? The Gemara answers, one vidui is for the Kohen Gadol himself, and one is for his household, meaning the other Kohanim. He must confess his own sins before separately confessing theirs because of what Rabbi Shmuel's academy taught. Kach hi midas adin noheges. This is how the attribute of justice operates. Mutav yavu zakav yechaper al chayiv. It's better that an innocent person come and atones for the guilty, while yavo chayiv yechaper al chayiv, rather than the guilty person come and atone for the guilty. So when the head juggler confessed his sin of dropping some balls, before he confessed the sins of his sons who juggled and also dropped some balls, another juggler decided to juggle only 4 yediyas atuma balls, leaving 4 balls on the side, which reminds us, Rapapa explains, that there are actually 8 relevant yediyos: awareness of tumi before and after eating kachim, or before and after entering the mikdash, awareness of food before kachim, before and after eating it, while tame, and awareness of the mikdash area before and after entering it, while tame. However, our Mishnah only calculates the yediyas afterwards, which bring him to a carbon liability. Alternatively, the Mishnah only calculates the yediyas beforehand, which are never a factor in all of the Torah, meaning a carbon normally does not require prior awareness. So when the head juggler confessed his sin of dropping some balls, before he confessed the sins of his sons who juggled and also dropped some balls, another juggler decided to juggle only 4 yediyas or tumah balls, leaving 4 balls on the side, while balancing a piece of a sheretz the size of a lentil on his nose, not knowing that this size is metame, which reminds us, Rapapa asks, Ne'alamu menu hilchos tumah mahu, if laws of tumah were hidden from him, what is the halacha? Is his awareness that he physically touched a sheretz considered initial awareness if he didn't realize that it made him tame? The Gemara clarifies, this does not mean someone did not know if a sheretz or frog is metame, because this is a case of go learn it in a schoolhouse, meaning it's considered known. Rather, the case is where he touched a sheretz the size of a lentil and didn't know that this size is metame. This question remains unresolved. Daf Tezvav, so the Simur Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. As Lachme Tod in large fruit bowls, that must be one Daf Tezvav. As Lachme Tod in large fruit bowls were being paraded around as part of the procedure to expand the borders of Yerushalayim, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that additions to Yerushalayim, the Azores of the Mikdash, require the Melech, a Navi, the Orim Utumim, the Sanhedrin of 71 judges, and with 2 Toda Karbanas and with song. These requirements are derived from the pasuk describing the Mishkan's construction, which concludes Vehentasu, with Doros, and so shall you do for all generations. Abrais explains that the 2 Toda Karbanas of the Mishnah means Belachman v'lobasaron, their bread and not their meat. So as Lachmei Tod and large fruit bowls were being paraded around as part of the procedure to expand the borders of Yerushalayim, Shiari Minchas and large fruit bowls were being paraded around to expand the Azar, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama said, Ein Azar Miskadeshes El B'Shiari Mincha. The Azar is only consecrated with remainders from a Mincha. His reason is ultimately explained that just as Yerushalayim is sanctified with Lachmei Toda, which are Davar Nechoba, an item which is eaten in it, V'yotzim Mimena Nipsal, and if it leaves Yerushalayim, it becomes disqualified, so to the Azar is sanctified with an item which may be eaten in it and is disqualified by leaving the Azar, namely, Shiari Minchas. So as Lachmei Tod and large fruit bowls were being paraded around as part of the procedure to expand the borders of Yerushalayim, Shiari Minchas and large fruit bowls were being paraded around to expand the Azara, as musicians sang and played instruments that were variations of fruit bowls, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that the procedure to be Mekadesh additions to the Mikdash and Yerushalayim was with Shira. A brisa teaches Shir Shel Toda. They sang the song of thanksgiving, meaning Mizmor Lasoda, using harps, lyres, and cymbals, al kol pina upina, on every single corner, al kol evan gadol shibu Yerushalayim, and on every single great stone in Yerushalayim. They sing Aramimcha Hashem Kidulisani, I exalt you Hashem, for you have uplifted me, as well as the Shir Shel Pagaim, the song of harmful spirits, which some say is called the Shir Shel Nagaim, the song of plagues. Daf Tez Zayin, so the Simur Daf Tez Zayin is an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with big toes. Acrobat with big toes? That must move on Daf Tezayin. The acrobat with big toes who jumped over a Navi leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king or Urim Utumim, which reminds us, regarding the requirements for being Mekadesh the Mikdash and Yerushalayim, Rav Huna says, B'chol Elu Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah that sanctification is effective only with all of these requirements listed. Rav Nachman says, B'achas Mekol Elu Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah that sanctification is effective even with only one of these requirements. This machlokas hinges on how to explain the fact that Ezra was Mekadesh Yerushalayim and the second base of Mikdash without a melech and no Urim Batumim, and is based on the machlokas whether Kedush Rishon Kitchul Shaita V'Kitchul Asin Lavo. So, the acrobat with big toes who jumped over a Navi leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king or Urim Batumim, watched in horror as his friend the acrobat flipped onto a sheretz inside the Mikdash, which reminds us, the more it discusses the source, that one who becomes Tame in the Mikdash can be liable. So the acrobat with big toes who jumped over a Navi leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king or Urim Batumim, watched in horror as his friend the acrobat flipped onto a sheretz inside the Mikdash and finished his act by bowing without delay toward the outside of the Mikdash, avoiding punishment, which reminds us, Rav explained that bowing without delaying is only liable at Shehishtachava Klapi Panim, where he bowed towards the inside of the Mikdash towards the Heichal, which is considered bowing, of Yishtachava Klapi Chutz, but if he bowed towards the outside, Shahayin, then if he delayed, he's liable, but not if he did not delay, since this is not considered bowing. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that according to Rebbe, one would get karas for a Yom Kippur transgression? For example, where one ate at the last moment of Yom Kippur without enough time to be atoned. That's on Daf Yud Gemol. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you have questions about the Shia requirement for Tumah regarding Malkus, airspace, Mazid, and Nazir? That's on Daf Yud Zion. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do when the additions to the Azaras require Shari Minchas? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you discuss what the din is if one takes the short path to exit the base of Mikdash, but he does so slowly, or he takes the long path and takes it quickly? That's on Daf Yud Zion. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you discuss the source of the machlokas where the Kohanim are included in the Sima Shnoach's atonement, or they get the atonement for all their averos from the vidui on the par? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you, when the Rebbe holds the Yom Kippur atones for nearly all averos, even without tshuva? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you discuss Derech Bia regarding entering a base Menuga and entering the base of Mikdash? That's on Daf Yud Zion. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn that according to Rav Shimon, the extra tamidim are sacrificed for Kaitzim Yizbeach? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you have a proof that Ketores has Kedushas Aguf from the fact that Tvul Yom can disqualify it? That's on Daf Yud Alef. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn that an Aseh violation would be atoned by the Serum Ashtaleach, but Omid Bemirdo with one who stands in his rebellion and refuses to repent? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.